Hello everyone, this is Anke Mentler, your host for Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling. Our special guest today is Kirsten DiRolf, and we'll be talking about how women's self-perception affects their careers and, of course, what they can do to be more in their power to make a difference in their careers and lives. But before we dive in with her, let me introduce Kirsten quickly. Kirsten DiRolf is a solution-focused expert, owner and founder of Solutions Academy, a global coach training academy with ICF and EMCC accredited programs. She coaches executives and teams mainly for global corporations and has designed and delivered several global initiatives for leadership development for large international corporations. She currently serves as the immediate past president of the German chapter of the International Coaching Federation, ICF. She also published several books on what could it be, solution focus, of course, and writes on her own weekly blog and contributes to ICF Germany's podcast. And now, hello, Kirsten, and welcome to Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling.
Hi, Anke. Thank you for having me. This is absolutely wonderful to be here. And the topic of supporting women in their careers and in their life is very dear to me. I'm also European Ambassador for Female Entrepreneurship by the EU, and I'm a role model entrepreneur by the German Ministry of Economics. And in that, I've always been very, very engaged and supportive of women and men, and everything in between, not to be binary here, living the lives that they want to live.
Oh, yes. Thank you for being our guest today. I'm so happy to have you. Thank you so much. And we have such a special topic. Yes, bringing the women into their own powers. But also what we have spoken about is something that is their self-perception and the effect that it has on their careers. But before we dive in, I'd love to share, love for you to share a bit about your own story and what made you go into the coaching and also into founding your own company.
I mean, when I was starting in the work life, I basically business life and was very different then. And it seemed to me like with my values of collaboration, of respect, of support for other people, I didn't feel like I would be a good fit for business as it was, I guess, 35 years ago. And so I went into academia. I went into then teaching English, business English, and realized quite quickly that I was doing work as a business English teacher that could also be described as coaching. Mm. And then I realized that, you know, you give a class called English for Presentation Skills and you get 200 euros. Well, probably at the time it was still Deutsche Mark. And if you give the same course and call it Presenting in English or Presentation Skills and you deliver it in English, you just get 10 times that money. And for me, that was the start of my thinking about, okay, the coaching and training is probably something that I can do well and actually make some money with it. And then I founded my own company after my first divorce and being responsible for two little children and just having to find something that would work within the very patriarchal system that was there at the time was not easy. This was a time when kindergarten would be from 8 to 12, then you'd have to pick up the kid for 2 hours and then to have lunch, and then you would pick up, you know, take the kid back to kindergarten from 2 to 4:30, and there just wasn't, the childcare just wasn't, and even these afternoon slots were highly sought after, and there wasn't, there basically there there wasn't any childcare. So I moved back into the same town where my parents were, knowing that if I was going to work at the time, I would need two or three options for childcare. So I would need the kindergarten, but I would need my parents just in case the child got sick. And if you work as a coach and trainer, you can't say, oh no, I can't today because the babysitter canceled or something. That just didn't fly at the time. I think today this is different, but 35 years ago, there was still this idea that whoever entered the workforce would have to play by those rules. And I wasn't very happy yet. And I was very overworked and all of the things, but I kind of struggled through and made it with my company. And now I think the business world has changed toward more equality for all genders. And I think that's a really good development. And with all of our conversations around breaking the glass ceiling and making everything even more equitable as it is currently, I think we shouldn't forget what has been achieved. And that's quite a lot. I think there has been a lot of progress, at least in my lifetime, I can see that, at least I hope that it's easier for young women today.
I don't know yet. Let's see. Speaking of your background, you are a mom, you are a woman, and you are an entrepreneur. And now thinking about this combination, my biggest question is, what's your biggest learning from that combination toward your career? What's something that you see? Because we are speaking about women and breaking glass ceilings. What was maybe your biggest learning that you can say, okay, here is something that where I broke my glass ceiling?
I don't think I perceived any glass ceilings until I had children. And I think that's quite common for a lot of women, that everything seems at par or even actually being a little bit privileged as a woman in the education system. Mm-hmm. And then when you start living as a couple and when you start living with children, then suddenly the whole system that is ages old starts recruiting people into this mindset of, as a mother, as a woman, as a wife, as a blah, 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 I should be.
Okay, yeah.
And that's, I think, at the same time, it's something that everybody's recruited in. Men, yeah. Women, all genders are, I think, recruited into this worldview of, okay, somehow it becomes the woman's responsibility to take care of the children and to take care of the household. At that time, like, I don't know, 20 years ago, I was even thinking of founding a self-help group called Rabenmütter. So this is the German word for raven mothers, which is apparently ravens, I don't know, are bad mothers. And because I was feeling the, mm-hmm. I was really feeling the pressure, whether it was my own pressure or whether it was society's pressure, but there was a thick, fat, dominant narrative that as a woman, actually, you should be home with your children. And things that happened that strengthened that thread were, for example, school was very much oriented toward mothers helping their children deal with what school demands of children. And as I was working full time, or definitely full time, I couldn't fulfill those duties. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, as a single parent, it was very difficult, but I wasn't a single parent all of the time, but at that time it was especially difficult. Things like homework, which isn't possible without an adult sitting next to the kid. Or another example, if you meet friends and they invite you over for a coffee and you see the house is in disarray and There's cobwebs all over the place, and shoes in various parts in the house. And who's then going to say, oh, well, you know, Robert didn't clean up.
No, no one.
Yeah. So there is this idea of this, just the organizing of the children, the cleaning of the house, the having things presentable, being somehow linked to the mother, when, you know, there's oftentimes two competent adults in the relationship. It's something that feminists have been describing as the mental load. So that while, you know, you're sitting on your sofa and actually you're relaxing, but you can't really relax because there's so much stuff lying around, and just this additional burden of the responsibility that is, I think, shoved on women by this dominant distribution of rights and duties. And somehow the story goes, the duty of the woman is to take care of the children and take care of the house. And I hope that this is becoming weaker and weaker and weaker, but I can still feel it myself. I don't like it when I do it, but I sometimes feel myself perpetuating this. Mm-hmm. So if I go into a house and it's a big disarray, my first thought will be, well, you know, Annalisa could have done a bit of cleaning.
Oh my gosh, but, no way.
Yeah, no way. No, I mean, that's like my, but that's the first thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no. I catch myself and say, okay, you know, Robert could have done this as well.
Yes.
I mean, this, of course, is very heteronormative, and I don't want to come across as thinking that there is only one way of relationships. Obviously, there are many ways of relationships, and that I think is maybe an advantage. If you're a woman in a same-sex relationship, then you probably are not feeling, you know, at least you have two people who should theoretically be responsible.
It could be, I don't know. Yes.
I don't know. I haven't lived in a same-sex relationship where I cohabited with someone. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the glass ceiling that I could say for myself that I needed to break. I wasn't very happy doing it because I loved my children dearly and I wanted all the best. But there were moments where I was feeling that my children were underprivileged because I wasn't able to do things for them that other mothers could. Mm-hmm. Like really checking every day, did they have their homework? Did they pack their lunch? There was this telephone tree after school. Where the mothers called each other. What's for homework? And I think that the society's thinking with the new generation is really so much more equitable, so much more just in questioning these old stereotypes. And I think these stereotypes are not only detrimental to women, they're also detrimental to men. Whenever there is a dominant story about how somebody should be, rather than looking at what this person wants to do and how they live in their communities and how to distribute rights and duties equitably, people start suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. And what just came to my mind is I still work with clients and have friends who are still in this vicious circle of thinking I should be doing this. So the shooting comes up with the guilt that they are feeling towards the children. And what I just also recognize is that maybe you had this the feeling of maybe neglecting your children, but on the other hand, now I'm seeing my friends doing or being helicopter moms, really being all over the place and really looking at everything, looking for everything, taking care of everything. So there is this perception of themselves still needing to be a perfect mom, maybe. And now when we think about today, how would it be if, or what could a woman do to get rid of this guilt, the shame, the self-perception? And what could be one step you think that they could take, a first simple maybe to get out of this circle?
I don't know what would be good for other people, so I can't really give advice, but what I can share is what helped me and what helped clients of mine. And that's first being realistic about what is doable. And being very good at prioritizing. So if I'm not healthy, and if I'm not sustainably healthy, I won't be able to provide for my children. Yes. So that needs to be a priority. But, you know, children or no children, if you don't have children, even then it might be a priority to stay healthy.
Yes,
and
sane. Sure.
So I'm just mentioning my children so often because that was my experience. And
yes,
when I started realizing that while there is a lot of pressure on women, the pressure on moms is, I think, even bigger. So just being aware of, this is what I can do, this is what's not going to fly, and if I'm going to be a successful entrepreneur, then maybe my house is not going to look like you can eat off the floor. Yeah.
Good.
So
yes.
It's just, second is being able to delegate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a couple of coaching clients who wanted to be entrepreneurs because I had pro bono coaching for women entrepreneurs. And it was a struggle to let go of things like, I am going to do the laundry.
Oh.
Yeah, for some, not doing the housework myself felt a bit like a loss of identity.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I mean, I wasn't like keen on housework anyway, so
Ooh.
I was.
Me neither.
I like ironing now these days. I think that's a lovely, you know, and cleaning and these things, because I see what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But letting go of this idea that I need to be the person who does all these things by myself.
Yeah.
And just freeing up my mind and saying, okay, maybe my house is not going to be exactly like I wanted, but I have someone in there who's going to take care of this, and I have one less worry.
Oh, yes.
And just managing the worry bit, where do I put my energy? What is important to me? What is important to my family? What is important to my friends? And just prioritizing ruthlessly.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I love how that plays also into the executive role, because you just mentioned being an entrepreneur. If you have your own company, that's one thing. But on the other hand, you also have this role when you are a leader, and you have to delegate. So this is not only something that plays a role at home. It also reflects within the business. So if you are an executive, then you have to delegate as well. So we can learn here for each side, so for private life and, of course, for the career as well. So would you see this maybe also being something that affects women when they are taking care of their career? So the delegation part, is this something that you would say would help them learning delegating?
I think from my experiences in the corporate world, there are a couple of glass ceilings there. So, yes. And one of them is definitely being very particular when it comes to how things should be done. Mm-hmm. And if you are a little bit perfectionist and particular around how things should be done, then it's probably hard to let go of them and delegate them to other people. Mm-hmm. And learning that you can do so much more if you have a team who will support you and who will, who you can then support to do the things in good ways, whichever those ways may be, is, I think, very important. And also, but I think that's for men and for women and for all genders, is this idea of stepping into leadership and accepting, okay, I have authority.
Yeah.
And not shying away from leadership, not shying away from authority, without using it in a bad way. But my favorite leadership model is that of leader as a host. Mm-hmm. So leader as a hostess. I am there. I it's my party. So yeah. I can decide who's in and who's out. Mm-hmm. I can make sure that everybody's happy. I can call the shots. I can say this is a pirate themed party and everybody has to wear a pirate costume. Mm-hmm. But in a sense, when stuff is going on that's going well, I need to get out of the way and let the party run. And if I see there's somebody in the back of the room who's unhappy, I go and help them find somebody to talk to. So this is a model by my friend Mark McCurgo, who mm-hmm. wrote this book, Host Leadership, and I like it very much.
Yeah.
And that, I think, it's easier if you are not a person who enjoys authority. Mm-hmm. And I guess that is the same for all genders. Stepping into, yes, I know something, I have something to say, I can support people. And I think the other thing that's really helpful is if you build networks of people who are supporting each other, again, of all genders. But one example that I have is from a couple of women in a consulting company who experienced this phenomenon where they were giving an idea in a meeting.
Yeah.
Nobody listened to it. 10 minutes later, somebody else picks it up and proposes this idea as if it was new.
Ooh.
And then that person, because of different gender, maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know, was listened to. And it sounded like it was John's idea when it was Mary's. Mm-hmm. And they were suffering from that. And yep. They formed a little network and mm-hmm. a little support group. And whenever that would happen, one of the other women would say, oh, thank you, John, for picking up Mary's idea from 10 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. I love that. I wish I had that 10 years earlier, because I remember a situation when I had this and a colleague picked up my idea and was presenting this to our direct manager. Here comes the thing is I went to my manager and asked him, what did he say differently than I did? Because I thought I had said this before. And I thought I wasn't perceived like I was presenting the same idea. So now where's the difference? And he told me about some different expressions that the other guy used. And it was a man. And so I learned to communicate differently. And of course, I would have loved to have someone support me back then. That's great. Yeah, it's something how you can support each other. And you can also learn. And I like also this, the leader as a hostess or the host, whatever gender, of course. If you are, and this party idea is really a great idea, because we are all used to having parties at home and having having guests there and maybe delegating to someone, hey, can you please pick up that plate and bring it over there? And if you can think about your career and your role where you have some responsibility like this, wow. I love how this all plays together and how we can draw a parallel line to our private lives and our careers and how this all plays together. Yeah. Great. Yeah. I love that. Thank you so much for that. And when you think about what we just discussed in terms of what women could do to step into their power, like really delegating, what would be something that you would, wisdom that you would love to share with future generations? What's something that you would say, hey, if you could do one thing, what would that be you would give them as a future part of wisdom?
Maybe it's to become aware of these dominant narratives around us and take the time to define our relationships with them consciously. Mm-hmm. Questioning the authority of these narratives, questioning, is this really true? And then it doesn't mean that you then have to decide, I'm not going to follow this narrative or I'm not going to do what is expected to me. But at least once you've deconstructed or reflected on these narratives, you can be the mistress and of your own relationship with that narrative. So it is a conscious choice. And in my opinion, that makes you happier than if you are feeling oppressed or feeling angry or feeling sad or whatever. But you can say there is this dominant narrative. I would like my relationship to be is I want to ignore it and I just want to do my own thing. That would be, then I acknowledge that this is the fact without losing energy to rage against it or to, you know, to feel about this in any emotional way.
What I also hear here is not creating an identity out of it, but really recognizing, so having the consciousness about this is a narrative that I tell. Maybe I can take a decision to stop it and create another story.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Such great wisdom. Thank you so much for sharing, Kirsten. And I know for our listeners who want to stay in touch with you, I know you have an incredible gift to share with them. So can you share a bit what that is?
So if you want to learn a little bit about having conversations that can help people reach their goals, also known as coaching, mm-hmm. I have a free gift, which is coaching flashcards. So it's just a bunch of A4 printouts that you can download and you can cut them up. And then that's your coaching session in a nutshell in a little box. And you can try this out and practice coaching if you want. And you can get this on the link that I think Anke is going to supply.
Exactly. We'll be sharing your link for your gift below so that everyone can just click on it and grab it. And yeah. Oh, Kirsten, thank you so much for being our guest and sharing your wisdom and a bit about your story. And of course, giving this absolute phenomenal gift, because when you're starting out as an executive or coach or anything, and you want to really have something besides you, this is such a great gift. I think everyone can just jump on and get it and take something out of that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, and to our listeners, more sessions will be delivered to your inbox tomorrow. I look forward to joining you in our next session. And until then, don't forget that changes need chances. So give yourself a chance to rise into your power and embody your true self. It is your time to shine.